This is The Guardian. Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with the full story. It happened sometime just before 7 p.m. on a hot day at one of Sydney's most popular beaches that began like any other.
Plenty of people down there, families, and it was a hot arvo. And I was walking back to South Bondi, back to our apartment, and we were near the grass area, and we heard, I think it was two shots at first, and everyone looked back. It came from North Bondi.
Two alleged gunmen, a father and son, began to fire into a crowd of thousands.
We just saw a rush of people run towards us coming from North Bondi. They were running away from the shooter to us. People were running on the roads, car horns going off. People were crying. And I recall a group of girls running past us saying, "He's shooting people, he's shooting people." And that's just when it clicked that, like, it's actually happening. You just wouldn't think something like that to happen in Bondi.
There were bullets and there were so many of them and we were really scared. We didn't know where they were coming from.
I've seen some of the surf lifesavers hosing down, cleaning blood off their boards this evening. So extraordinarily harrowing for them.
It's been called a terrorist attack targeted at the Jewish community who had gathered by the sea to celebrate the first night of Hanukkah.
This is a targeted attack on Jewish Australians on the first day of Hanukkah, which should be a day of joy, a celebration of faith. An act of evil anti-Semitism, terrorism, that has struck the heart of our nation.
As I read this, at least 16 people have been confirmed dead, including a child and one of the alleged gunmen. At least 42 people have been wounded. The other alleged shooter is now in police custody in a serious condition. It is the worst mass shooting in Australia since the Port Arthur massacre.
My fellow Australians, I say tonight that there are nights that tear at our nation's soul. In this moment of darkness, we must be each other's light.
Today, terrorism on Bondi Beach.
I don't know. Bondi is just such a special place to me. And the sun setting and it was the most perfect day. And then this happened. It was just awful.
It's Monday, the 15th of December. Hi, Ben. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Regid.
We are speaking to you very early Monday morning. I just want to take you back to when you heard that something was happening at Bondi Beach and what you saw when you got to the scene last night.
The first we heard was the sound of what sounded like, from our distance, fireworks. We then heard a lot of sirens, police sirens. We then heard helicopters. We then, all of a sudden, I live near Bondi and local WhatsApp groups started to sort of light up with messages. Things are happening. There's something going on. Does anyone know what's happening? Is everyone safe? And it became very apparent very quickly that this was a very serious incident. There was something extraordinarily dangerous happening at Bondi Beach. And in those early moments, I suppose, there was a lot of chaos about exactly what this is, a lot of confusion about what was happening. And people were very frightened, and people were very frightened for many hours after that. Walking down Bondi Road towards the southern end of the beach, this attack occurred towards the northern end of the beach. I was met with streams of people coming up the hill the other way. A lot of people very distressed about what they'd seen, about what they saw. People confused, people still not being able to get in touch with people. The phones tended to work pretty well, but there were moments when you couldn't get calls through or messages weren't going through. So there was just a lot of chaos initially and a lot of extraordinary confusion and a great deal of trauma. People were deeply distressed by what they saw, what happened, and this awful, unspeakable event that's been visited upon this beach.
It's now morning, some 10, 11 hours after the event. How much do we know about what took place last night?
It's always so difficult at the beginning of these events to know exactly what's happening. The first information is harried and mistakes are made and amplified and rumours race around. We are still working through exactly what happened. We understand there are now 16 people who have been confirmed died. There are police operations happening elsewhere in Sydney. One of at least two shooters was killed. Another one was critically injured and has been arrested. But we have confirmed that 16 people have died, including a child. We know that this was an attack on the Jewish community in Bondi. They were celebrating Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, the first night of which was last night. There was a community gathering Hanukkah by the sea. People were lighting candles. And we know that at least two gunmen, possibly a third, police are saying, but at this stage, at least two gunmen walked onto there is a narrow stone footbridge that goes over from Campbell Parade, which is the boulevard that runs along the back of Bondi Beach, over a car park to the back of this park that sits just behind the sand. It's next to the Bondi Pavilion, which a lot of people will know. It's next to the Bondi Surf Lifesaving Club. And this park was where members of the Jewish community had gathered to celebrate Hanukkah. I'm sure a lot of people will have seen the video footage that was taken of two gunmen wearing black, carrying long arms and firing into this crowd, reloading and firing again and reloading and firing again.
The aftermath is still developing, no doubt. The death toll and the number of injured could change. There was also another element to what was going on last night with the rescue and bomb disposal teams there. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. This message went around very quickly as well, that police and emergency services wanted as many people away from the area as could be safely managed. There were concerns over bombs being planted around Bondi Beach, and we understand that an improvised explosive device was removed from a vehicle very close to where the shooting took place. Again, it's a very busy place, Bondi, at all times, but on a sunny Sunday afternoon in summer, there were thousands of people having dinner, people having picnics, people walking dogs, people exercising, people having races on the beach. There was just, and this is a very typical Sunday afternoon in Bondi. It is a busy, vibrant, diverse place. There are lots of people from lots of different communities all intermingling, and then in the middle of this, you insert this extraordinarily violent and vicious terrorist attack, and it was chaos.
In amongst all of this chaos and horror, some remarkable video has emerged of a person taking on one of the gunmen.
I think a lot of people will have seen this, and it's just almost unbelievably brave. Extraordinary footage of an unarmed man using the cover of a car to sneak up behind one of the attackers and lunging at his arms and his neck and disarming this terrorist, and then turning the weapon towards the terrorist as he stumbles backwards. It was just an absolutely extraordinary piece of bravery, compounded not only to attack this man who is in the act of murdering civilians all around him, but the video then pans out to show there's a second shooter who is still firing. We understand that man who disarmed the terrorist was injured and has undergone surgery, but it does paint this extraordinary contrast in the midst of this depravity and violence and brutality. These extraordinary acts of bravery and selflessness are possible.
A few hours after this happened, we saw the Prime Minister speak and police as well. They've designated this a terror incident. What's the reasoning they've given for that classification?
My understanding is that that gives police extraordinary powers they can do to investigate this, to ensure that there are no further attacks or there's no further danger to the community. That declaration was made very quickly, I think, to give police and emergency services all the power they need to be able to keep people safe. There are going to be a lot of people travelling in the next 2 or 3 weeks as we approach Christmas and the end of the year. it does feel that there is a particularly heightened atmosphere at the moment, and I think we're going to see a sort of fairly extraordinary security response to ensure that for all of the tragedy that's occurred last night here in Bondi, that it's cauterised now and there is no further tragedy.
When the Prime Minister spoke last night, he called this attack evil anti-Semitism. He had some very strong words.
Late last night, the Prime Minister convened a meeting of the National Security Council, and he described this as a targeted attack on Jewish Australians on the first day of Hanukkah. He described it as an act of evil anti-Semitism and terrorism that has struck the heart of our nation. And he made the point that this is a broader attack on the Australian community. He said an attack on Jewish Australians is an attack on every Australian. He said there's no place for hate, violence and terrorism in our nation.
We've also heard the New South Wales Premier Chris Minns talk about a promised inquiry into any possible police failures. Is there any conversation around the police response times, or could that unfold as the days progress?
Look, I've certainly heard a little bit of that. I'll admit I haven't caught all the press conferences and all the statements. I've been down at the beach, and so it's a bit hard. Certainly the sense you get from being at the beach is that the time for that will come. But of course, this will be looked over in forensic detail and responses understood and warnings and all of those sorts of things. And that's a really important thing to happen. But I think at the moment it feels like there is just a state of disbelief and of shock and of people seeking to comfort each other. Certainly those questions will be asked and they will be legitimately asked, but I think people are just still trying to comprehend what's happened. I remember walking home late last night after it was dark, and there were still people leaving the sort of makeshift trauma centres that had been set up at some of the surf lifesaving clubs, you know, covered in blood, and they'd see a friend on the corner and they'd fall into each other's arms. It's a deeply traumatic event for the community here that's very close, that's very diverse but very harmonious, and all of a sudden this has been, this has just sort of absolutely devastated this community and terrorised people. This is what it is. It's an act of terrorism that is designed to create fear, and I think that's done that for a lot of people. I was just down at Bondi this morning. The sun is sort of just breaking through some very heavy clouds this morning, and the sea is wild and the sea is rough, and it's very quiet. It's usually a vibrant and busy place at this time of morning, and it is still cordoned off and police cars and flashing lights, and it's very quiet and it's very eerie.
We'll be right back. I heard quite a few people, eyewitnesses, police, talk about how it's more than 1.5 years since the Bondi Junction Westfield attack, and how people are going back to that as they reflect on this moment.
I think so. I think this has been very resonant of that, and I remember that as well in, you know, the WhatsApp groups lighting up, where are you safe, you know, is everyone okay? That reactivated again. All of a sudden people from all over the world just wanted you to write back, yes, I'm fine, you know, just to know. And I do think this is a community that was traumatised by what happened at Bondi Junction, and for something of a different nature, I would argue, that's categorically different in its sort of intent and its background, but still just traumatic and just as frightening.
We know the Jewish community was targeted in this attack. What can you tell us about the reaction there?
The first confirmed victim of this terrorist attack, it was a rabbi, the assistant rabbi at the Chabad of Bondi. He was a father of five, Rabbi Eli Schlanger. And Gillian Siegel, who is the federal government's special envoy to combat anti-Semitism in Australia, she said the images emerging from the attack echo the horrors Australians hoped they would never see here. An attack on a peaceful Jewish celebration is an attack on our national character and our way of life. Australia must defend both. And Gillian Siegel said, as Australian Jews light our Hanukkah candles tonight, we do so with the heaviest of hearts.
Just finally, The New South Wales Police Commissioner spoke last night. He called for calm and said this isn't a time for retribution. Can you just give us a sense of where things might go over the coming hours and days in terms of the investigation?
I think we are still in the very early stages of this, and this will take a long time, and it will be too slow for some, I think, but it will be methodically investigated and understood. I think there will be questions about responses, and all of those things are legitimate questions to make about was this community kept sufficiently safe. But I do think just for the moment, it feels like this is a city and a community in shock. That's going to be the priority now. I think lots of people are finding friends and family and loved ones this morning to comfort each other and just seeking to reconcile what's happened and to try to come to terms with it. It feels like a place in shock at the moment.
Ben, thank you so much for your reporting on this and for talking to us today.
Thanks, Richard.